he lifted his eyes and he saw Esav was 400 men. Vayachatz es hayladim, he divided es hayladim the kindlach al Leah v'al Rachel v'al shtei hashefachos. Okay, in the English it says he looking up. Okay, he lifted up his eyes. Okay, Jacob saw Esau, coming with a retinue. Okay, well, how come there's a star here? A red, a C node at 32.7. Okay, Vayar v'ne Esav ba, v'imoyin with him, arba me'osish, v'yachatz es hayeladim, he divided the children, alevi al rochav, v'yashtei ha'ashav, v'chos, the two maidservants. What is Rashi? There is no Rashi on this passage. What does the Targum say? It was Zakaf Yaakov, Enohu Yaakov lifted up his eyes. He raised his eyes, v'chazo, he saw, v'ine, v'ho Esav, or saw Esav, as saw is coming, v'ine with him, arba me'o guvrin. 400 men, ufalig, he divided. Yos binayo, alev yal rochel, yal tartain, and the two lechenosa. Now notice over here in this edition, hope you can see this, it is in bold, which means this means his concubines. Pilakshin. It's a pella what it says over here. Shvachois, mamasha, pile ploim. What the Targum over here says, he's translating the word shvachois, not as a maidservant, but as a pilegish. Now, they were not pilakshim, they were wives. Yaakov, we're talking about Bilah and Zilpah. Bilah and Zilpah were not pilakshim. They were servants, slaves. And later they became full-fledged wives. And here the Targum says, V'al shtei hashefachos, the Unkelus translates the word, V'al tartein l'cheinosa. L'cheinosa is not the word you use to translate as a servant. The word l'cheinosa means a pilegesh, a woman that has been designated to live with, but not to be considered a wife. So over here, he's saying over here an incredible chiddush. And that this demands that we take a look at what it says over here in the commentators. The Pasuk Aleph Chaf Gimel, Perik Chaf Gimel, Pasuk Aleph. Okay, and it says here, Hash Lechein Ha Pilakshim. Lecheinosa, he doesn't do anything. All he says is the word Lecheinosa means they were Pilakshim. So Unkelus over here is saying a Dvar Nifla is that Bilah and Zilpah never attained the status as a wife. They were pilakshim. Now, a pilegesh is not a very nice word to refer to a wife. They were pilakshim. We don't look at it like that. I mean, there are so many mysteries about Bilah and Zilpah. Where are they buried? Rachel and Leah prominently buried in the Ma'aris Machpelah. What about Bilah and Zilpah? They were the mothers of four of the Shvatim. So how come they're second fiddle? What happened to them? Who were they? Rashi says in Parashas Vayetze last week that Bilah and Zilpah were daughters of Lavan. They were Lavan's daughters. The only difference was they were daughters from Pilakshim. In other words, Rachel and Leah, we don't know who their mother was. Rachel and Leah were sisters. Who was Lavan married to? It's a big mystery. Who was he married to? We don't know. Whoever he was married to, he had these two children, Rachel and Leah. And Lavan had a Pilegesh. A Pilegesh, or question. Here's a question. No one ever talks about this. Were Bilah and Zilpah, L'cha'or, were also sisters? So this is a very big pella, because according to what Rashi says explicitly in Parashas Vayetze that Bilah and Zilpah were Lavan's daughters from another woman, not the same woman as Rachel and Leah. But if they were Lavan's daughters, that means all four of these girls were sisters. So if that's the case, we have a very big problem, because there's a famous Ramban says that when Yaakov came into Eretz Yisrael, Rachel died. Why did Rachel die? Because Eretz Yisrael is not going to tolerate a man being married to two sisters. Being married to two sisters is osur in the Torah, even though now it's before Matan Torah. But still, before modern Torah, even before modern Torah, the Torah is not going to tolerate that Yaakov Avinu can be married to two sisters at the same time. And that's partially why Rachel died. So Yaakov should not be in violation of being married to two sisters. But what does it help us? He's still married to Bilhah and Zilpah. And Bilhah and Zilpah are also sisters of Leah. And they're sisters to themselves. So Mihai, what's going on? So what do you want to say? You want to say he's not really married to them? They're only pilakshim. That means the imos, two of the imos of pilakshim is mamish pella, what it says over here. Let me go look over here what it says over here in the Ma'at Sari. The Ma'at Sari in Parashas Vayishlach. Parashas Vayishlach. This is a pasuk base. Let's see. Perik lamid gimel pasuk. I'm sorry, pasuk aleph. Uzakaf, he lifted up his eyes. Okay, osay. I pilakshim. Okay, he says pilakshim, same exact thing. All right, so I don't know more than this. Now over here it says another thing. Ayin mil uzikaf Yaakov ayin miluim. All right, let's take a look over here. What it says: Vayiso Yaakov enof. He lifted up his eyes. Targum says uzikaf Yaakov enohi. So here it says we should look in the back, in the miluim, parshas Vayishlach. And let's see what he says over here. Chayitza v'yetze v'yishlach. Yaakov lifted up his eyes. Okay, v'yisa Yaakov enof. V'yar, okay. Uzekaf Yaakov enohi. V'chazo v'cho esav osev v'yimei arba mea guvin ufaleg. Ufaleg yos bin ayo. He divided his children alev yal rochel v'yal tartein l'cheno sos tu pilakshem. Uzekaf Yaakov Enohi, Kosa b'mesoris hatargum, Lashon nisiyo b'einayim. Uzekaf Lashon nisiyo b'koil. Vayisas koloi targumoi, v'areim Lashon nisiyo b'raglayim. Vayisas unital. Okay. He's saying over here something amazing. Okay. Wow. Okay, he says something very interesting. This is remember I told you all the time the rule. We have a rule in Targum. Targum comes to simplify. This is a violation of what I told you. The Targum very often takes words in the Torah that are different words and he translates them with the same Aramaic translation. Let's say you'll have three, we have many, many times. Let's say you'll have three words. We have completely different words. Words that are Hebrew. Lashon HaKodesh. Completely different words scattered throughout the Torah. And the Targum translates all of those words with the exact same translation. So what in essence is the Targum doing when he does something like that? He is simplifying the Hebrew language. The Hebrew language really is very simple by itself. It's a very small language. Yet the Targum comes to make it even simpler by minimizing the language. In this example, he's doing just the opposite. Not just the opposite, but what he's saying over here, there are three examples of where the Torah uses the word Vayiso. Here it says, Vayiso Yaakov enof his eyes. There's a pasuk that says, Vayiso es koiloi. He raised his voice. Who raised his voice? Yaakov, I don't remember. Someone raised Vayises Koilo. He raised his voice. And there's another pasuk that says Vayisa es Raglov. I think it's all by Yaakov. Yaakov, he raised his voice and he said, okay, whatever it is. Yaakov raised, it says three times in Luchumish and Bereshis the word Vayisa. Vayisa es Einov. Vayisa es Koiloi. Vayisa es Raglov. He raised his eyes. He raised his voice. He raised his feet. And it's the same word, Vayisa. And in each of these three locations, the Targum has a different translation. When it says Vayisa Yaakov Einov, our pasuk says Uzikaf. When it says that Vayisa Es Koiloi, he raised his voice, the Targum says Va'areim. And when it says Vayisa Es Raglov, he lifted his feet, it says Unital. Unital. So it's very interesting. We learn over here, Nu Yisoid, that the Targum sometimes, although very often, he simplifies the language by translating different Hebrew words with the same Targum. Sometimes the Targum does the opposite. He takes a word which is the same, Vayisa, 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 and depending on the context, if we're referring to raising up your eyes, raising up your voice, raising your feet, he will translate the word Vayisa based on the context. Here it's Uzikaf, by the voice it's Va'areim, and by the feet it's Unetel. So we have over here, sometimes indeed he makes it a bit more complex. Okay, so over here it's Uzikaf Ayin Ilum Osei. Okay, next. Osei Loshon Hoivev Hine Isa Bo Arloy Shekor Higi Bin Aya Af Apli Shetekim Yiladim Hu Roivin Mikomakam Kan Chayidif L'Targim Bin Aya Shum Milo HaKololetzkam Nar V'yoynek. All right, we're not going to focus on that. Let's go to the next pasuk. Next pasuk, Vayosen es hashvachos. Next pasuk, pasuk beis. Yaakov Avinu is about to meet Esav. So what does he do? He Vayosen meet places. He sets es hashvachos. Vies yaldehen rishoyna, the maidservants, and their children first. Who were the bnei hashvachos? Naphtali, Yisachar, Dan, and God. Right, Naphtali and Yisachar, Dan, and God. These were the children from the shvachos. Vies Leah Viladecha Acharoinim, Ruven Shimulev Yehuda and Yisachar, Ruven Shimon Levi Yehuda Yisachar, who else? Yisachar and Zvulun. Those were from Levi. That was from Leah. And Rachel had only at this point in time, Yosef. Binyamin was not yet born. One of the three reasons why is the Beis HaMikdash built in the Chelek of Binyamin? There are three reasons why Binyamin had the Zuchus that the Beis HaMikdash is built in this portion. Number one, he did not participate in the Chiras Yosef. Number two, he was born in Eretz Yisrael. Number three, he never bowed down to Esav. He was not yet born. When they met Esav, Binyamin was not yet born. So he never bowed before Esav. He was born in Eretz Yisrael. He never bowed before Esav, and he did not participate in Mechiras Yosef. That is why Binyamin is special. That Yedid Hashem, Ule Binyamin Omar. Binyamin Yedid Hashem Yishkon Leveta Cholov Chayefev Lov Kol Hayom Uvein Kisifav Shochein. That's the special zchus of Binyamin. So it says if Ayosem Es Shvachos Es Yaldei Mishnoi put the Shvachos and the children first. This Leah Vilodeha Acharonim. Then came Leah and her children came second. V'yes Rachel V'yes Yosef Acharonim. They were last. Notice the only child that is mentioned by name is Yosef. Okay, Leah, none of her six children are mentioned. The Shvachos, each two apiece, none of them are mentioned. The only one that was mentioned over here was Rachel. Why? I don't know. You'll tell me because Rachel had only one child. So what? Just because she had one child, you have to. There's Rachel, yes, Yalda. It says Vilodecha. Vilodecha is plural. So Vialda. It says Yaldehen, Vilodeha, and then it says Yosef gets special mention when it comes to Rachel. Okay, so now there's some famous stuff on this pasuk. V'yaslev v'yas Yilodeh Acharonim. What is over here the pasuk? We said this is going to be a topic for tomorrow. I want to talk about this tomorrow. The sugya of Acharon, especially when it comes to Kriyas HaTorah. Meir, did they ever give you Acharon, Meir? Did you ever get Acharon? Did you ever get an Aliyah? Acharon, the last Aliyah? A Levi cannot get doesn't get the seven Aliyahs. A Levi only gets the second Aliyah. What about you have an Acharon?
Yes, you can.
Oh, so you get Acharon, they give a Levi, they may have to make a Hosafa. You have to make, in order to give a Levi the last Aliyah, you can't give him Shvi. You have to make a special Aliyah called Acharon in order to give it to a Kohen or a Levi. What about Maftir? Also, you can give a Kohen or a Levi. I think there are some shuls where the Minog, it's totally in Minog, They don't give a Levi or a Kohen Achara. Only Maftir. A Kohen and Levi only get either the first and second Aliyah, or they get Maftir, but they will not give a Levi Acharon even when they make Hosafos. It's totally in minute. I think most shuls are not like that. The vast majority of the synagogues that we frequent have no problem making Hosafos, and you give to in the Hosafos, you can give anyone you want. You can give a Levi and a Kohen once you get past the Shiva Kruim. Once you get past the seven aliyahs, it's an open session. You can do whatever you want. Now over here, the way we colloquially use the word acharon, what does acharon mean? It means the very, very last. And yet over here, who is the very, very last? The very last is Rachel and Yosef. They're the very last. Yet, so if you would want to say that acharon chaviv, over here we have the shvachas. The shvachas were shvachas. So Yaakov Avinu, relatively speaking, compared to the other children, he didn't like them so much, which is a pella to say such a thing. That he didn't love his own children. Even favoritism. The shvachas, the aldehen, relatively speaking, he did not love them as much. Then came Leah Avilodeha. Okay, he loved them also, but more than the shvachas. But who was the ultimate love? Rachel vs. Yosef. Rachel and Yosef, that's the one that he loved the most. That's the one he wanted to marry. So they are chaviv. So Rashi says, acharon chaviv. Rachel and Yosef were the most precious. So they get mentioned last. Now, if you, Meir Appeldorf, were writing Rashi, and you wanted to make this comment, which itself is a controversial comment. This is very fitting for you, Meir. It's a very controversial comment to make favorites and to say that Rachel and Yosef are his favorites, is chaviv. It's a very controversial comment, but if you would want to say it, on which Dibur HaMaschil would you make this comment? You would certainly make the comment on Rachel and Yosef. Rachel and Yosef are acharonim. Rashi would quote those words. Rachel vs. Yosef acharonim. And Rashi would say, acharon chaviv. The very last is the most precious. Yet, it's a famous kasha. Where did Rashi say the word acharon? He first quotes the middle. Leah vilodeha acharonim. And on that, Rashi says, acharon chaviv. But isn't that counterintuitive? Doesn't the average person assume that the acharon chav goes on the very last? And yet Rashi is emphasizing acharon chaviv on the second to last. Haloi davar. So what's the answer? I don't know what the answer is. Okay, there are answers. I'll give you all the answers, but the answers are not satisfying. The question is better than all the answers. So one answer, first of all, is that acharon does not mean the last. Acharon means it's after the first, but it does not mean that. What's the ultimate proof to this? Godol yiyeh kvoid habayis ha'acharon min harishon. Greater will be the honor of this of the second Beis HaMikdash than the first. And the Gemara says, what was the greatness? Iba Yisema B'Shanim, Iba Yisema B'Binyan. Number one, the Bayis Sheni lasted for 220 years, 10 years more than the 410 years of the Bayis Rishon. And the second is, it was much more beautiful. It was a much nicer building. It was a more beautiful building, the Bayis Sheni, than the Bayis Rishon. Hordis beautified, he did construction, the renovations, and he made the Bayis Sheni more beautiful. So does that mean, because we are calling the second Beis HaMikdash the Bayis Acharon, so this is the Gemara. The Gemara says there was a Goy, there was someone that says, that means, Tidon, now that the Bayis Sheni has been destroyed, there's nothing more that's ever going to happen. Because since the Bayis Sheni is called Acharon, was the last, there's nothing more to come. Finished. Acharon, you built the Bayis Sheni is the Acharon, And that's it. There's no more Abaye Shlishi. So I don't know, this is a Gemara, so along came one of the Amorim and says, nope, not true. Acharin does not mean the very last. Acharin just means it's after the first. And there's going to be Abaye Shlishi. And even though the Pasuk says, Godol yeh kvoid habayis sa acharin min harishayin, so what? It doesn't mean the very last, it means the one that's after the first, but there's still going to be a third Beis HaMikdash. So here as well, it says over here that Leia Vilodecha were Acharoinim, which means that they were the second after the first, but it does not mean that they were the last. Okay, there's more to come. Okay, now, with that in mind, so therefore, that's all it means. Another answer is, now, someone once told this to me, a Yekka told this to me, a Chover. Rabbi Mayevsky knows who this is. His name was Chaim Victor. Passed away about 20 years ago. He was a throwback to a completely different world. Completely different world. He was a real Yekka. He was a Chover. He was a whole different type of person. Like they don't make these people. In fact, it's not even possible that America can produce a person like this. I remember he was a completely different creature. No resemblance to this generation at all. Like, not even close. And he once told me, he was really very old when he told me, that when it says the Chazal, Acharon, Acharon Chov, I always say this over in the Shir, it means the second to last. Because if Chazal wanted to say the last, they would say, Acharon Choviv. Chazal are very precise. If Chazal said, Acharon, Acharon, it means go to the very, very last, go to the very, very end, and then go back one step. Acharon, Acharon. And that is Choviv. And why is that called Choviv? Because the very last is Choshuv. There's a very big distinction between choshuv and choviv. Choshuv means it's very important. But being very important does not mean that it's precious. Precious is the second to last. Why? Think about it. The very, very end, there's a lot of ceremony and there's a lot of distractions. When you get to the very, very end of something, there are a lot of distractions. When you're getting close to the end, you're not mamish the end, that's called choviv. That's choviv. See, we're very lucky. We're living in a generation that's acharon, acharon. You can't say we're in the last generation because Mashiach didn't come yet. Mashiach's on the way somewhere. I don't know where he is. He's probably locked up in Mayor Appledore's basement. Probably has chains and who knows what you're doing to him over there.
The donkey is in the basement.
He's locked up somewhere. When Mashiach will come, that will be the last generation. That's going to be the most choshev generation. This generation that we're living in is the most choviv. It's the most precious. The nisyonos are very great. And as we're holding ot, right before Mashiach is coming, this is the acharon, acharon, the second to last. The acharon, acharon, that is, I'll bring you another raya. What's the last letter of the Aleph Beis? The letter Tav. What is the second to last letter of the Aleph Beis? Shin. What do you have on your tefillin? Which letter appears on the tefillin? The letter Tav or the letter Shin? The letter Shin. Right, the letter Shin. The tefillin, the mamish, the letter, the tefillin is mamish, the Shem Hashem. This is v'rohu kol amiretz ki Shem Hashem nikodach v'yorbi meko. And what letter do we display on the Aleph Beis on the tefillin? The letter Shin. Because the letter Shin is the chavivus. Acharon, acharon. So now here's a shocking part. That if you would ask the average person, if you would go on Avenue J and Avenue M, and you would just stop a person, and you would say, which one of Yaakov's four wives did Yaakov hold to be the most chaviv? Chaviva. So what would the average person say? They would say Rachel. It says Vayehav Yaakov is Rachel. It says Yaakov kissed her. He loved her. He wanted to marry her. You ask the average person who's the most, which wife is the most chaviv? They're going to tell you right straight out. It was Rachel. Wrong. It's not true. The wife that was the most chaviv was Leah. Leah gave him 6 children. Half of Klal Yisrael came from Leah. So it says here in this Rashi, Vayosem es ha-shvachos v'yes yaldehen rishayna, period. Then it says, V'yes Leah v'ilodecha acharoinim. She came next. Rashi, Leah v'ilodecha acharoinim. She's second. Why is she second? Because there's one more to come. Rachel's yet to come with Yosef. And Rachel and Yosef, they're not the most chaviv. They may be the most choshuv, but they're not. This is the most chaviv. Acharoin, acharoin chaviv. The second to last is the most chaviv. So what did he do? What did Yaakov do? He protected. Who got the most protection? So they asked the average guy on the street. Now let's go to Coney Island Avenue. We're already done with Avenue J. Now we go to Coney Island Avenue and we stop someone and say, which one of the set of the wives and children got the most protection? So I think most people would say that Rachel and Yosef got the most protection because they were the furthest away from Esav. Not necessarily. They were exposed from the back. Who knows, maybe Esav has someone lying in ambush. The one that got the most protection was Leah v'ilodeh. Because Leah was sheltered in front by the shlochas and in the back by Rachel and Yosef. So the one that had the most protection from back and front, v'haser satan milifaneinu u'me'achareinu, it was Leah. So this is a game changer. L'mshan the pasuk, v'yos mes ha'shlochem v'zalem yishana, they came first. Then v'yes Leah v'ilodech acharonim, Rashi says, oh, Leah is acharon acharon chaviv. She's the second to last. And because she's chaviv, because she gave Yaakov 6 children, that's why she got the most protection. She was sandwiched in between a team of people in front and a team back. Okay, it's all Lubshan the Pasuk. Now, what does Rashi say? That was Rashi. What does the Targum say? The Targum says, Vishaviyos Lechenosa. Again, he calls the Shvachis concubines. Okay, he calls them Palakshim. Vios Benechon Kadmoin. Vios Leo Uvinoha Basroin. Vios Rachel. Vios Yosef Basroin. They came last. All right? This is what it says. Is there any comment over here? Let me look over here in this Pasuk. Pasuk 2. Okay, let me read to you what it says in the book. It says they went first. It says over here, Rishayna. So we have over here, Kadmoin, Basroin, and again Basroin. Okay, we have wood Kadmoin versus Basroin. What is over here in the Perush? Zayas Rishayna, Kadmosa, Vehu Shema Nikra, Veloy Goris, Kadmisa, Shu Toyal, and Kevikosh, Shosa, Kadmisa. Okay, there's another gear, so we're not going to go into that. Now, what does it say in the Ma'at Tzori? Ma'at Tzori Pasuk Beis. Look at that. No comment. All right, now we go to Pasuk Gimel. V'hu avar lifnehem. V'yishtachu artzo sheva pamim ad gishtoi ad ochif. Yaakov went in front. And what did Yaakov do? He bowed down. He bowed down on the ground how many times? 7 times. Ad gishtoi ad ochiv until he came near his brother. Chazal darshan on this pasuk, it was a mistake. He bowed down too many times because Yaakov Avinu bowed down 7 times to Esav. That's why there were 7 mikdashos of the Jewish people were destroyed or retired. How many sanctuaries did the Jewish people have from the time of the beginning? 7. The Mishkan. Gilgal, they put up a Mishkan in Gilgal for 14 years. Shiloh, 369 years. Noiv, Givoin, those two together was 57 years. The Bayis Rishoin and the Bayis Sheni. So Nochamo, Klal Yisrael had 7 sanctuaries. The Mishkan of Moshe Rabbeinu, the Mishkan in Gilgal, the Mishkan in Shiloh for 369 years, the Mishkan of Noiv, the Mishkan of Givoin, total of 57 years, the Bayis Rishon for 410 years, the Bayis Sheni for 420 years. 7. Because Yaakov bowed before Esav 7 times, that is why the 7 Mikdashos of the Jewish people were either destroyed or were retired. Okay, 7 times. Ad until Gishtai came near Ad Achiv to his brother. Now let's see Vashteit on Rashi. Rashi, for Ovar Lefnehem, Yaakov Avinu went in front. Why did Yaakov go in front? Omar, he said, Im Yovoi Oysa Rosh Lilochim, Yilochim Bitchila. You see this? He was Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu, if the enemy, I'm in charge, it's my responsibility, they come to fight, I'm going to get hit first. Okay, in the army, you have to study, you have to go take out an encyclopedia and study world history and study. When an army goes to war, who goes in front? Who goes in the front of the army? Does the general go or do the privates go? So I don't know the answer to every single army, but it seems that in most of the armies, the general of the army does not go in front. The general doesn't want, the people go in front, many times they get killed. Okay, on D-Day, how many American soldiers were killed in Normandy? Does anyone know? It was a bloodbath. It was a mamish bloodbath. What happened over there? And they knew it. So how come all the macho generals didn't go and land in Normandy and go in the front? I don't want to get killed. That's why they didn't go. But Klal Yisrael, when you go to war, the leader, the general goes first. I think someone told me, is it true that in the Israeli army, that's how it is? When the Israeli army goes to war, they go, so the minute is that the general goes in front? Is that the top commander goes in front? May, are you familiar with this? I don't know if it's true or not.
Yeah, the commanders go in front.
But in the
junior officers go in front.
The officers go in front.
Like lieutenants, captains.
Not the privates.
No, the guys who are in charge of the lieutenants are stay behind.
The guys who are in charge of the lieutenants stay behind?
Yeah, because they have a strategy. This is tactics. So the lieutenant has under command 100 people, he's with them.
So he goes in front. In the American army, he goes in front. In the American army, he goes in front.
Everywhere, especially in Israel.
Only in Israel they go in front. But in America...
In Russian army also. He has
the leader.
The leader
has to go in front. So Yaakov Avinu, v'hu ovar lefneim. Omar, im yovoi oysa rosha lilochim, yilochim bitchila. I'm going to get hit first. I go first. Unkelus says, v'hu ovar kodo mehon usigid. He bowed. Al ara, sheva zimnin 7 times, ad until mikrevei ad achui, until he became near his brother. He bowed 7 times. I said a Jewish once is that v'hu ovar means Hashem. Hashem is who? Hu Elokeinu, hu Avinu, hu Malkeinu, hu Moshienu, v'hu Yashmienu berachamav shenis le'enek ha'choy liyos lachem l'lokim. When you go to war, don't forget, it's not koichi v'yotzem yodi osli yasachay alazeh. When you go to war, and then, don't forget, all of your strategy of who goes where, the who, Hashem. Hashem is called who? Who Elokeinu, who Avinu, who Malkeinu, who Moshienu, the who Yashir Barachim of Shenis. Hashem goes in front. Okay, let's go to the next person. Vayorotz Esav Likroso, Esav ran Likroso, Vayichabekehu. He embraced him. Vayival al Tzavarov, he fell on his neck, Vayishokehu, and he kissed him. There are dots There are dots on every one of the letters, Vayivku, and they cried. And then what's going on over here in Rashi? Rashi says, Vayichabakeyu niskalgul rachmav kisharosh mishtachave kol hishtachave salalu. So over here, Rashi says, Dvar davar nifla. Wondrous words. It says of it, the bowing. See, Chazal is very amazing. Chazal criticized Yaakov for bowing. Because Yaakov bowed, that's what gave Esav, that's what gave our enemies the power to take away from us our seven mikdashes. Yet at this moment, it says that because he bowed and Esav witnessed the bowing, he was overcome with emotion. Nisgalgilu rachamav. He was overcome with emotion, and that resulted in him embracing Yaakov Avinu. Pelo. Vayishakeyu, he kissed him. Nokud olav, there are dots on top of the word Vayishakeyu. V'yesh cholkin b'dover hazeh b'braisa d'sifrei. There's a machlokes. Why there are dots? Yesh doshu nokud zo shloim neshokeh b'chol libo. The dots are here coming to tell you something. To take away. Dots come to take away. Now when it says that he kissed him, he did not kiss him with a full heart. It was not a full heart. Amar Rabbi Shimon Yochai, it was not complete. Yesha darshu, zu shaloi nishakai b'chol libai. Amar, this is something that is, this is one of the most important things to remember. This is something which a person has to remember every single day. Amar Rabbi Shimon Yochai, Rashbi. Halacha hi biyadua she Esav soine liyakov. Don't ever forget that. They hate us. Oh, but over here, Esav was kissing Yaakov. He hugged him and he kissed him. There are dots. He did not kiss him with his full heart. It was a choyro asha. Ela. At that moment, and he kissed him. Okay, this is this opinion says it was b'choliboy. So this is a very fascinating Rashi. Rashi says there's a machlokes. When he kissed him, did he kiss him with a full heart? Or did not kiss him with a full heart? Some said that he did kiss him, that he did not kiss him with a full heart, and some said that he did kiss him with a full heart. So why then are there nekudos? If he did indeed kiss him with a full heart, the purpose of the nekudos is to tell you that this was the exception. But oisa sha'a, he kissed him with a full heart. But don't expect this to be true every other time. We live in Galus, and if we ever witness our enemies, we ever witness them kissing us, so either we should know they're not really kissing us sincerely, or, and even if they do kiss us sincerely, this is it's an exception to the rule. It's not something we should expect, because we have to never forget, halacha hi biyadua. This is an established fact. Once we have a shiur, we explain this Chazal is the makor for anti-Semitism. And this Chazal, there are three words. There are three words. Halacha. Number two, he. And then it says, biyodua. Each one of those words captures a different dimension in anti-Semitism. Halacha, he, biyodua, she'esav soyne yagav. Biyodua means it's known. What do you mean it's known? Version of das. There are logical reasons why they hate us. Because they're jealous. Because we get in their way. There are logical reasons why they hate us. Then this, the first is halacha. Halacha is halacha l'moshe m'sinai. Halacha l'moshe m'sinai means you don't have to understand it. There's no reason, there's no logic behind it. There's no logic as to why they hate us. Just like if halacha l'moshe m'sinai, that's the way it is. That's how it is. It's not logical, it's gezeiras hamakom. And he, what is he? I forgot what we said about he. There's another dimension of anti-Semitism. I don't remember what we said. Biyadua is obviously das. There's a logic. Halacha, there's an element. There's a dimension of antisemitism that's not. He is b'havasa yihei. I don't remember what we said. Got to go back to our records. All right, let's see the Targum. We'll stop the time when we answer this. But it says urahat esav lekado musay v'gapefei. He hugged him. Unefal al tzavrei, he fell on his neck. He kissed him, and he cried. Let me just take a quick peek at what it says in the Ma'at. Sorry to finish off. Pasuk Dalid. Pasuk Dalid. Ugi vigo fefei. Hakofas hazeroya bitzavor. Okay, it means to hug. To wrap your arm around someone's neck. That's all he says. And what's in this sefer? In this sefer it says, "Levos achui mashakosav ad echav inakvani ad mamashad lekosachav yertz ilagrosay." Are you going on a different point? Okay, we will stop here. Thank you all for coming and learning with me. Have a wonderful night. Mirshem, tomorrow we're going to do the siddur.
Laila tov,
Reb Lezer. Thank you again. You know what? Thank you very, very much. Much appreciated. Good night, everyone. Feel good, Mayor.
All right, I'm waiting for my test to come out. I think it's going to come out positive.
You don't know that it expired. You don't know for sure that it's... Either way, you don't know either way what it's going to say. All right, whatever.
If it's positive, I'll take another test tomorrow by the center.
I wonder if I have COVID now.
Why?
I'm extremely tired.
You extremely what?
Tired. Extremely tired.
Well, you never sleep. That's normal.
No,
for you.
No, this is unusual. It is a different type of being tired. It's not the usual type of being tired. Mamash can't keep my eyes open.
So sleep, why don't you sleep 12 hours?
I do. Oh, 12 hours, yeah, 12 hours. I slept, I came less than early, I woke up early, and I still today, not as bad as yesterday, but I'm...
What time you finish your daf yomi? 9:30?
Yeah, 9:30. No, last night I went to, well, it was late, 9:30, yeah.
Go to sleep, straight to sleep. Sleep.
All right, maybe.
All right, good night.
Zai Gizon, good night. Thanks for coming. Good night. Good night, Mr. Lizglatter. Good to see you.